Our scripture today comes from Exodus chapter 19, the first six verses, and we'll be using the Message translation. It reads in this way. 3 months after leaving Egypt, the Israelites entered the wilderness of Sinai. They followed the route of Rephidim, arrived at the wilderness of Sinai, and set up camp. Israel camped there, facing the mountain. As Moses went up to meet God, God called down to him from the mountain, "Speak to the house of Jacob. Tell the people of Israel, you have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. If you will listen obediently to what I say and keep my covenant, out of all the peoples, you'll be my special treasure. The whole earth is mine to choose from, but you're special, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is what I want to tell the people of Israel."
So I don't know about the rest of you, but I just learned in the past couple of weeks about what the mother eagle does when she pushes her young eaglets out of the nest. So often in Seattle, I would walk in the morning and I would see, just on my morning walk, I would look up and see a bald eagle. It was amazing. And they would have their nest there on the edge of a cliff. And all this time I watched them fly around, I never knew how all of this worked until a few weeks ago. And when it's time for the little eaglets to fly, there is the nest on the edge of the cliff, and she begins to push her little eaglets towards the edge of the nest, and she starts to push them out of the nest until they fall out of it and they start to go down the cliff. And if the nest is not close enough to the edge of the cliff, she will actually pick them up on their wing, and she will take them and she will lower them down on the edge of the cliff and drop them. Kind of hard to watch. I actually looked it up on YouTube. It's difficult to watch. Yeah, it's hard to, I know. It's like, oh. She actually nestles and moves all the little twigs in the nest. And she waits for them to see what will happen. And there's a few times where she pushes them out of the nest and they're flapping all around and they're not quite sure what they're doing. And she actually, when she's flying with them, she has to swoop down and pick them up. She has to start over because they're not quite yet ready. But she goes back into the nest and she pushes them out yet again. It makes me think about all the times that people have taken me to the edge of my nest and they have pushed me out when I'm not quite yet ready. And y'all have seen me flapping. Y'all remember when I was flapping, probably here, right? Flapping, wasn't quite ready. And a few of you caught me. It reminds me of a powerful story about going to Seattle. My dad was a Marine before he went to Brown. He went to the Marines for 2 years. And he told us when we got older this story about boot camp. And boot camp was hard and exhausting, and he didn't get much sleep. And when boot camp was over, the Marine sergeant came into their barracks with far more fruitful language than I'm allowed to repeat in a sanctuary. And he came into the barracks, and he told all the Marines, "I have a postcard for each of you with a stamp already on it. And I want you to write a note to your parents. And I don't want you to complain that you're tired. And I don't want you to complain that you're hungry. And I don't want you to complain about anything. Your parents don't need to hear any of that. They kind of already know it. Boot camp is over." Fruitful language, fruitful language. "Just write a note to your parents and do what a good son does and tell them that you're okay." Well, this story came to fruition when I spent a year when I was a school teacher in Cornelius, and my dad and I had this great little tradition. Every Saturday morning we would go to breakfast at Skyland over in Charlotte, and we would eat greasy eggs. And I was discerning this big move out west, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go to Oregon or Seattle. And as you all know, I ended up going to Seattle. And Dad and I would talk about, you know, should I take this job or this job? And I finally got the job working with teenagers in Seattle. And I get ready to go, and I accept the position. And that day that I got ready to leave, my mom wasn't able to go to the airport with us. And these were back in the days when you could actually walk someone to the gate, young people. There was a day when you could walk someone to the gate, pre-9/11. So my dad walks me to the gate. This was a one-way ticket. When I told the flight attendant that on the airplane, she said, "Can I buy you a drink? That's amazing." I said, "No, I'm about to meet a bunch of church people when I land. You better not buy me a drink." So we're standing there, and he had his blue blazer on, and I'm about to say goodbye, and he reaches into his jacket, and with his lips quivering, he pulls out 5 postcards with stamps already on them, and he hands them to me, and he says, "Go to Seattle. Make the best of this, and don't complain that it's cloudy." Right? "Don't complain that it's raining. Don't complain that you're far away from home because you know you made this choice. Go and make the best of this. And write your family and tell us that you're okay." And as I walked down that boardwalk to get on the airplane, I knew the whole entire time, as he pushed me out of the nest, I knew the whole entire time that if my world crumbled underneath me in Seattle, that my parents would send me the money to buy a ticket to come back home. I knew the wing would catch me if I needed it, but I also knew that I was being pushed. I think about all the times that my parents, my mentors, my friends, jobs like coming to Unity, all the things that have helped me to get to where I am today are the eagle's wings in my life. All of you, think about the times in your life when God has used people to carry you forward to get you to where you are right now. Think about the people who did that. Those are the people who helped you get the job you never thought you would have. They helped you with the opportunities you never thought you would gain. They gave you the strength you never knew you had. And they gave you the comfort that you really needed. And most of all, you might still be in your nest if it wasn't for that someone that came along and lowered their wing so that you could mount up on eagle's wings and that you could take a moment to soar into your next chapter. Verses 4 through 6 in our scripture this morning, I believe, are the heart of our lesson and probably the heart of the Old Testament. It's all about God and his covenant and his promises, most of all with Israel, but it's the lesson that God keeps God's promises and covenants with us. The first 3 verses that David read set the stage for this great announcement that God's about to make. Here's Israel. They're in the desert of Sinai. And the Holy Spirit is coming along and reminding them, kind of like our parents say sometimes, right? Our parents say, "You're right where you're supposed to be." Yes, you're nodding your head. Yes, a few of you. "You're right where you're supposed to be." Packing up, getting ready to go to college or go somewhere. "You're right where you're supposed to be." And the Holy Spirit's saying to them, "You're right where you're supposed to be." And God has them right where God wants them. And there from the mountaintop, God speaks some of the most significant words found in the Old Testament. Words that Moses proclaims to the Israelites. He says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to me. And now, if you will listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my people, And there's some powerful truths in this message. And the biggest truth of all is that God keeps God's promises. God's pretty faithful. Here he's taking this time to distinguish between the Israelites and the Egyptians. He's letting them know, I have delivered you. I've made you a special part of my family. You are a special part of my care. There's a contrast between you and them. I have brought you out of deliverance, out of your pain. And here's the beautiful image that God has used, that of the eagle and how it cares for its children. And Moses uses it again in Deuteronomy 32. Moses explains this image more fully. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, she spreads her wings and catches them. She carries and holds them. It's a powerful image. Think about the times that for some of us in our life, we may have felt abandoned by God. In all of our faith journey, there may be times when we question God and we wonder where God was. And there certainly, we know, were times in our life when the Israelites, they felt like they had been abandoned by God. But God, like the mother eagle, takes time to stir up the nest and forces us to try out our wings. And when the Israelites got nervous, they began to flap their wings, and God came underneath them and swooped up and bared them up on eagle's wings. What a beautiful image of a compassionate and loving God, that when we begin to flap and we get a little scared, that God swoops up like the mother eagle and holds us. I think back to Seattle. Those first 3 months were just bliss. You know, everything was so great. I thought I was the coolest thing since sliced eggs. I was like, this is so awesome. I've moved 3,000 miles away from home. This is just great. And then about 3 months into it, I was walking in Magnolia, and I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Who made this decision? And I literally started flapping. I wasn't quite sure. I was right where God wanted me to be. That's exactly what was supposed to happen. I really believe if the eaglet could talk, if the eaglet on that nest that I watched on YouTube could speak to the mother, that he would turn and say, thank you, mother. This was good for me. This is exactly what I needed. This needed to happen. I'm so glad you dropped me, even though I was about to pee in my pants. I'm so glad that you pushed me, even though I was up all night long worrying about it. I'm so glad that I was scared because I've never been more alive. I didn't know what I could do. I didn't know what I could survive. I didn't know I was so strong. I didn't know I was so amazing. I didn't know I had so much courage. I didn't know I was so smart. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for dropping me over and over and over and over again. If you have ever been in this scary place in your life, I know you're going to give me an amen right now. Amen. There is always something just a little beyond that scary place in our life that will make us realize that had we never confronted that scary place where we flapped, if we had never confronted that, we would have never, ever found the way, and we would have never, ever learned how to fly. And to all the graduates who are about to come up here and face a new turn, a new endeavor, a new journey in their life where you might be saying, oh my gosh, someone just pushed me off the edge of a cliff and I don't know what I'm doing. 6 months from now, you will be flying. I believe that with all of my heart. And you will look back and say, I never realized what I could do. There's a theologian that tells a story about writing a book. And he would sit in his study down the bottom level of his house, and he told his children to stay upstairs, and he said, you guys be quiet up there. I'm trying to work on my book. Be quiet and stay up there and play quietly. And he talked about how he would be working down there, and he started hearing them come down the steps. And they would start laughing, and they would get a little louder and a little louder. And he started thinking to himself, I just wish they could be quiet. I'm trying to work on my book. I told them to be quiet. And they came running down the stairs. And he thought, I'm going to get them. Just you watch. So he comes around the door, and they're at the bottom of the steps, and he jumps out, and he says, boo! And of course, they scream! And they run back up the steps. So he goes back, and he starts working on his book again. It isn't 3 minutes later. What are they doing, parents? They start coming back down the steps again. And what do you think they say? Scare me again, Daddy. Do you hear it, though? Daddy, scare me again. Daddy, push me again. Daddy, make it exciting again. Daddy, make me jump again. Father, push me to a place I didn't know I could go. Mother, wrestle the nest and help me see that I can go to a place I never realized I could be. Mother, God, Father, God, make this a new reality in my life that I could go somewhere I never, ever thought that I could be. There are two great coaches, those of you who are sports people more than I am, John Wooden and Dean Smith. And they talked about how they wanted their team to really understand the need for interdependence and to understand what it means to make a team. So they made a plan that in every single practice and in every single game, when someone scored a point and they got a basket, they had to turn around. I know y'all know this one. And they had to point to the person that threw them the ball. Wow. Right? We're going to do that at Montreat, y'all. Somehow, we're going to figure that out. Every single practice and every single game, they had to turn around and point to the person that threw them the ball. This is the image of the body of Christ. Here we are on Mother's Day. Here we are on Graduate Sunday. Here we are on just any Sunday, any day of the week, any day of the month. As the body of Christ, we take the time to turn around and point the finger and say, Barbara, you're the one that helped me to make it. Dad, you're the one that stood at the airplane. Mom, Susie Francois out in Seattle, all my mentors, all my teachers, all my friends, you're the one that helped me to make it happen. I got to turn to you and give you the glory and give you the thanks. Today is the day that we turn and we recognize that God has used these people in our life to stir the nest and push us to the edge. And God will use people. God will use people that we don't even like. Oh, amen? Amen? God will use anyone to help bring us to the best that we can be in this world. Graduates, especially today, and those of you that have mothers, it is a day to turn around and say thank you. I am thanking you, and I'm thanking you, God, for all you have done for me to give me the wings to soar. So as we prepare to receive the offering this morning, I know you know the song Jeff is about to play. You raise me up on eagle's wings. And I turn this morning to give the glory to God to say thank you. And I turn to that person this morning and say thank you for giving me the wings to soar. Let us receive the morning offering.